You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
And it's weird because it's an audition, so it's like I'm trying to just do exactly what I think that they would want instead of doing what I think could enhance his character.
Hello, world, and welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first week tuning in, welcome to the madness. This is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the entertainment industry, and I make them share some bad audition stories with me. Today on the show, we have Victoria Richards. She plays Treasure on the new HBO Max show Rap Shit from Issa Rae. We had a great conversation, so quick little warning, when we recorded this episode, there was a severe storm where Victoria was, so you will probably hear thunder in the background that is very loud, and it may cut out a little here and there. We tried to fix it, but weather will be weather. So I just wanted to give you all that warning, but here's our talk.
I'm so excited to have you on today. You are part of a brand new show that I'm so stoked to talk about, but before we get there, we have to talk about how you got started in acting and this crazy industry.
All right, let's get into it. So I was definitely one of the kids who heard on the radio, like, hey, like, if you want to be on Disney Channel, call this number at 777. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, my God. I totally remember those commercials.
Thank you. And they would always play them. And I would be watching That's So Raven. That was, like, my favorite show growing up. And I'm like, I want to be on That's So Raven. Like, Wizards of Waverly Place, all those shows. And I'm like, once I heard that little, like, call, I was like, Mom, call the number. Like, this is like, it's like, oh, it might be a scam. Like, I don't want you to get your hopes. I'm like, I don't care. Just call it. Like, let's just see. So we called it. I went to LA and was like meeting casting directors. I was like 7 at the time too. So wow. I was just kind of like getting my feet in the door with the acting and being a part of the industry and stuff. But it was too hard to balance that with school at the time. Mm. And my mom wanted me to get like the social experience and character development that like school gives you as a child. So she was like, let's just take a break. Like, you know what I mean? Kind of just focus on school and do like extracurricular activities within school and stuff. So I got more into sports, and I've been running track since 9th grade. I went to a sports academy in Florida, IMG Academy.
Wow.
Yeah, I was running track there. So I was, like, really taking sports serious. Then I went to college for it at U of A, Arizona, and was running it there. But by the time I got to college, my love for track had definitely decreased.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, like, my heart's not really in it anymore. And it was, like, 110 degrees in Arizona, and I was just
No, absolutely not.
Anymore. Like,
no way.
I'm done. And then, obviously, this was 2019, so going into 2020, COVID happens, and everybody has to come home. This is down the third. And, you know, like, when you run track, you have, like, scholarship, like, when you're a part of sports and stuff. So I was like trying to find a way to say I didn't want to run track anymore. But like my parents are the type where it's like, you need to be doing more than one thing. You need to continue to like expand and stuff. So I was just like, dang, like I need to get back in acting, but I don't know how I'm going to say it. So it was like a whole little process or whatever. Anyways, long story short, I quit track, started back in acting, and I just started going for it again. And I was just like, if they're going to let me quit, then I have to put everything I have into this. And that was what 2020 looked like for me. And it was great because although a lot of bad happened in 2020, for me, it was like that transitional year where I was able to start doing what I loved again. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And I wonder, too, if it was not necessarily easier, but if it was a bit more like emotionally easier, I guess, only by not having to actually physically be in person with auditions. Like it was a nice, maybe like a nice little ease back into things.
Exactly. It wasn't like, boom, in front of like 10 agents, 10 casting directors in the room, all eyes were on you. It's like, I got to do virtual auditions. So I get to redo it, do it over again. And if it was Zoom, then it's Zoom. But it's still not all that added pressure of just like hopping right back into it. You know what I mean? So that was, it was perfect. It was perfect. You know what I mean?
And where, so did you go back to where you're from when COVID happened? Or did you come out to LA or New York? Or what was that process for you?
So like we talked about, because everything was like virtual auditions, I went right back home and I hadn't decided fully that I was going to just go back into it. So it wasn't like, oh, let me move to LA. Like, you know what I mean? It was like I came back home and I was just like, hey, we can start doing like these online auditions. Like, let's just, you know, like whatever. So we started doing that. And I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina originally, but I'm based in Atlanta. But I'm thinking of moving to LA. It's the whole other stuff.
I think you should. I think Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta is so huge right now. I mean, the industry is booming.
It is. Okay, look, this has been a whole debate too. I was just at InvestFest. I don't know if you know what it is, but it's like a camp for like learning about investing and financial literacy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. My brother like pushed me to go and stuff. And we went there and I was talking to somebody in the industry about like moving to LA. And they're like, well, like you don't have to move to LA. No. Like Atlanta.
Many people who like have moved to Atlanta because it's like you can get great work in Atlanta and you don't have to have the LA prices. I mean,
exactly. That's what's stopping, like, you know what I mean? It's so expensive living in LA. So I was always the type to be like, I don't want to go there unless I'm like working, like, and really bringing it in consistently. You know what I mean? But God's pray on it. We'll get to it.
So you go back home to North Carolina and you start auditioning. And what was like the first bigger audition that you had where you're like, oh wow, like okay, this is right. I'm supposed to be on this track. I understand now.
That's a good question. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I honestly will say, so I did this project in Atlanta actually. And I had to play like a street gangster type of person. And that's so far from like my personality.
As you wear this beautiful, nice white blouse and perfectly manicured hair.
I'm not mean and evil. So it was like, I was like hood. And I had to do the audition for it. And it wasn't even like it was some huge audition. It was just such a stretch from the typical audition. Doing so I was just like, now let's see what I'm really made of, like let's really see if I can tap into a character that is far from me, you know what I mean, and really get into like an acting bag, really expand. So I'll say that was one that I can remember that I was just kind of like, oh no, nah, like I'm really doing this because I got hurt, and I was just like, wow, like I was believable. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like for more than just pretty cheerleader. So that kind of let me know, you know what I mean? That like I'm bigger than just this type of role, like a type A role, type B role. So, you know, that was kind of like what
I heard. I mean, it was the confirmation of saying I have more inside of me than what is just what is meant to be what I'm supposed to be.
Supposed to be based off my look, like I have versatility. And that kind of showed me that. And I feel like versatility is what will allow you to be long lasting in this industry as well.
100%. I mean, you have to be versatile. You have to be a chameleon. You have to be able to like fall into your roles, and so you disappear, and the character takes over. So I'm wondering too, did you go back to training when you decided to make this call of going back into acting, or did you say, I'm just gonna go for it and see what happens?
So what it was I'll say for the first maybe 2 months, it was just kind of like, man, I don't need, like, I got it. I used to do this for real. Like, you know what I mean? I kind of had, like, an arrogant attitude. And then I've, like, you know, as life typically humbles you, I was just like, you know what? There is more for me to learn. Like, the industry is not the exact same as when I was 7.
Yep.
I mean, so I did join some acting classes, still on over Zoom. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you the difference in the amount of auditions I was getting before and after these classes, because I only took 2, but they were so impactful. They were so impactful. It was like casting agents, directors, producers, and all types of people within the Zoom that were kind of just giving us game. Like, the biggest thing for me that I didn't really understand and know was that for auditions, you do not have to stick to the script every single time. Like, you can go off script, you can kind of put your personality into it or the personality that fits the character, like, you know what I mean? And kind of just add to it and expand it and make it your own, literally. Like, a lot of writers aren't necessarily married to their script, you know what I mean? And sometimes the way you do an audition is so different from how they even imagined it that they want to give it to you, because it's just like, wow, you just made me think of the character I wrote differently. So it was kind of like her explaining to me, it was a casting agent, I can't think of her name right now, but her explaining that to me, because she had us like read scripts and stuff for her to like give us some pointers on how we can improve our auditions. And she was just kind of like, you're really good, but like, you're kind of sticking to the script. Like, you can go up. It doesn't have to be, like, perfect. Like, you know what I mean? You can, like, get a little dirty, get a little, like, really get into it. You know what I mean? You can move around. You can. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like, so I don't have to just stand up straight. You know what I mean? And it's weird because it's an audition. So it's like, I'm trying to just do exactly what I think that they would want instead of doing what I think could enhance his character and bring it to life.
Ooh, yeah, and that's the tricky balance, is finding what works for you and what works for the character that you've created and marrying it with the person that you think they might want.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's a tried and true method of always just being yourself and bringing what you can offer to the role, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to book you the role, is bringing you. Because you're what's interesting. The character is just something on a page, and you're the interesting part.
You're bringing it to life. And it's like, we all have different perspectives in life, so my way of bringing it to life is going to look different than your way of bringing it to life, but how I do it can make you be like, oh, no, that's what we're looking for. You know, because a lot of times they don't, it's weird. Well, I'll get into that later, but yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It makes me think of this thing that a casting director told me once, which was, especially with self-tapes and whatnot, like, don't sit there and try to get the perfect take. Send in the tape where you screw up. Send in the audition where it's not perfect, because it makes it different. Everybody else has been, you know, working on the same tape for like 2 hours, and you have a tiny little hiccup. Well, that's actually going to be better. All right, so I want to talk to you about your new show from Issa Rae, the queen, Rapture, which is on HBO Max. Tell me about it. Tell me about your character.
Okay, so I think you said you want to talk about the new show on HBO Max. That's all you said? Okay, cool. Yeah, rap. I don't think we can say the whole word on here, so I'll just call it rap.
Say it.
But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of the show yet, but it's so funny. And like, the main girls, Chameleon and Aida, they killed it. Like, when I tell you, neither of them have like acted before this either. Like, and Issa Rae is known for picking like raw talent to bring her vision to life for what she wants to do. And when I, like, they were casted so perfectly. It was such a good time on set. And this audition story is actually very funny as well, because when I first got the audition, I play Treasure, and Treasure is like a fine hooker with a lisp, right? And I was just kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sell it. Like, you know what I mean? And it wasn't too long before this that I did the class where it was telling me, don't stick to the script, just go for it. Just get, like, you know, just fully engross yourself into the character. And for this specific audition, when I tell you, I was literally just like, And girl, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? It was just like, I completely got into it. You know what I mean? It was so
yes.
cool. And, you know what I mean? So I was really excited that I got it. And getting on set with such notable and accomplished people such as Issa, Sarita, and everybody else who was on the set, it was just kind of like, never for a moment did I feel like I didn't add value to the project. They're very intentional about making everybody feel worthy of being there. You know what I mean? And just stay encouraged. Like the set, the environment of the set was so uplifting, and it was such a good time. And especially because the show was like comedy as well. It was always laughing and jokes. And like, I got super close to my two co-stars, Jasmine and Daisy. Well, Naja and Daisy. I don't know why I'm calling her a character name. But Naja and Daisy, who plays Jasmine and Peaches. We used to always do that too, where I'll be like, Peaches, like, you know what I mean? I got so close with them, and we had such a good set experience. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. It's more to come, too. It's more to come, so.
I love that. How is Issa, is she on set with you guys, or is she seeing things from afar?
Yes, Issa's like, that's another thing about being on set, like, you're in it. Like, Issa's there every day. I think it was one time I was on set where she wasn't there, but she's like so engrossed into the project. Like, she's really there, like really calling shots, like really watching it, really giving you notes to your ear. Like, it'll be scenes she would come up to me and be like, so how do you play this? Like, this is not the third. I'm just like, I guess I can do this. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's like, she's that involved with her projects, which was really cool to see. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see that because she's...
It's like storming over. I don't know what's going on. Storming
so hard. Holy crap. That was intense. I can't believe I heard.
Thank you. I'm like, I'm not... Like, it's storming. But, okay.
Whatever. Dang. That's okay. Wow. amazing to hear, though, about Issa, because I think, you know, very easy for people who have found success to kind of just, you know, things and putting things out there and not really be that involved. And so for her to be just putting their so in involved, like, so
is dope.
So on the show, we like to share.
And I'm like, trying to do this as well.
On the show, we like to share audition stories. Is there an audition you would like to share? Listeners.
Okay, so one audition story I can think of that was so looking back, I really did try, but my mom, she like submits me for different things when I'm, you know, traveling and stuff. So she'll like randomly text me like, hey, like, can you do gymnastics? Like, hey, can you speak freaking, like, you know, Arabic? Like, things like that. So it was one time where I was coming home and she was like, hey, like, can you do a Haitian accent? And I was like, no. She was like, well, I submitted you for this thing. You don't have to do a Haitian accent. And I was like, what? So like the next hour, I was like listening and like looking up on YouTube how to do the accent. Like, I was really like, you know what? I'm just going to really try and give it my best before, you know?
Yeah.
So I had this audition. And I'm like playing like a 38-year-old mom and my like son Timothy is going away, but he's like, it's like a whole situation. I barely remember, but I just remember thinking, like, when they watch this audition, they about to be like, why did you even submit? Like, but I really did try. It was literally like, demo DSG-do-do. Like, little stuff like that. Like, I just, like, it was funny. But safe to say, I did not get it.
I mean, it's always...
I did not get it.
Always difficult when there's a new accent that you need to learn for an audition.
Yes. Yes. But it definitely showed me I'm, like, capable. It wasn't, like, that good. But I was just like, dang, like, I was getting pretty close to, you know, what it could be. I also looked young, so I wasn't probably a fit for the role. But I was just like, okay.
What else do you have on the horizon for Miss Victoria? What's next?
Ooh. So I have a feature film coming up called Abby, the curse word. and basically, I'm like a poetry slam artist in it, which is really cool because I write poetry in real life as well. So it's really cool to be able to kind of like explore within this character and poetry that he's given me to read. It's actually helped me in my own stuff as well. But yes, that's coming. We start filming in November.
Amazing.
November. So we're kind of just developing the character right now and doing like read throughs and stuff. So yes, be looking out for that.
I love that. And on that note, where can people follow you so they can watch all of these elements of the things that are happening?
Yes, follow me on Instagram at VRich, VRICHHH, Threeches. Yes, follow me there. I just got a Twitter, so it's like, I guess you can follow me on Twitter, but I'm not really, you know what I mean. I'm just getting it. But it's the same name for that, same name for TikTok. And yes, go tune in to Rap Shit every Thursday and laugh your butt off.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It was so nice to talk to you. I hope that storm goes away.
I know. Oh my gosh. Like, trying to kill the whole interview. It was nice talking to you, Jillian.
Thanks again to Victoria for coming on the show. It was so fun talking to her and meeting her. If you're not watching Rap Shit on HBO Max, what are you doing? Go watch it. Catch up on the series. And yeah, tune in next week for another fun episode. If you're not subscribed to the show, subscribe to it now, wherever you're listening to my voice. And leave us some love. Hit the buttons. Hit all the buttons. I don't know. And we'll see you next week. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.